This is CliffCentral.com.
Yes, good morning, everybody. It's just after 6 o'clock, it's Friday morning, and we are live. Keeping you company? I was thinking about it the other day. That, life can be really good if you start your day right and you're in the right mood and you feel like having a good day, you will. And if you are in the mood to have a shitty day, you will have a shitty day. It's the and I see people like some very grumpy faces in the traffic sometimes, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. No, I don't. I think I see these grumpy people in the traffic, and I think to myself that these people are going to have a bad day. They don't even know it yet, but the expression on their face is telling you straight away that they're going to have a horrible time. Life's going to get tougher for them from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. And then they're probably going to drink it away in the evening.
Oh, yeah.
And especially on a Friday, because you can wake up with a hangover, right?
There is no better drunk than Friday drunk. It happens quicker.
Friday drunk.
You're the most excited about it. Sometimes Saturday drunk makes you think, like, do I drink too much? Friday drunk is like the most guilt-free drunk there is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Sunday hangover is obviously far worse than Saturday hangover.
But Sunday drunk and Monday hangover, then...
What do they call those people who they can't... you can't rehabilitate? Those people who are like... there's a word. I'm trying to think of what it is.
When they can't
Yeah, they can't fix you. You're just a disaster. You must be thrown in the rubbish heap.
But some people also hate their job, so therefore they go, you know what, I'm not wasting my weekend with hangovers.
Yeah.
I'll drink on Sunday. Well, and then Monday can deal with that, because Saturday morning I'm up and out. Doing things.
It's funny, like last weekend I had a pretty hectic weekend, and I felt pretty awful most of the daytime during the weekend last weekend because of bad planning on my part. And sometimes you think you can handle drinks and then you can't.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very amateurish and I felt stupid about it. This weekend I have no plans whatsoever of drinking at all. And I'm really looking forward to it. Like, I'm going to have time, be able to sort things out. There's a lot that needs sorting out. There are things that I need to get in order. You know how it goes. You have those up weekends and those down weekends. And the up weekends could be where you are going full tilt and you're just in a mood to see all the people that you want to see and do all the things you want to do, and you've got an agenda and you've got a plan. And you may or may not include that in party time. And then there are those ones where you've got a couple of things you want to do, but you mostly just want to spend your time doing as little as possible.
Yes.
Yeah, that's kind of... the latter is where I'm headed this weekend.
Oof.
Which is going to be great.
Very good.
Yeah. Looking forward to that. It is a Friday morning, so we've got some interesting people popping by this morning.
Does it matter that it's Friday the 13th?
Does it?
No.
Oh, is it Friday the 13th?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
It does to Mabali because she's a witch.
Yeah, well, you know.
Oh, so what goes. Do you and your... What's a collective noun for witches?
A coven.
Oh.
She's got a coven of witches.
I don't. I prefer to work by myself.
But she used to be in a coven. Didn't you have a coven?
I got kicked out.
Aye, boy.
You're the head witch in charge.
I got kicked out. I got banished.
You know how bad you have to be banished from a coven of witches?
Because they're already bad as it is.
What, did you stir the pot a bit?
Oh, see what you did.
Wow. Yeah, look, Friday the 13th, not really important to me.
Yeah.
I do know people who are so paranoid about it, they won't leave their house.
Really?
One person, it's not people.
They need help.
It's one person. Yeah, they do need help.
Really weird people, Gareth. Often you go, this person I know, or this friend of mine, and then this weird story that follows.
You know what it is, Ben? It's
you have lots of friends.
I do. I have few friends. I have lots of acquaintances.
Right.
There are a lot of people, and I'm always curious about being the strangest and more bizarre people are the ones that I'm drawn to the most, always, because those are the people that you go, wow, that's how they live?
Oh, jeez.
It's fascinating to me. I mean, don't you find it pretty bizarre that there are some small pockets of humanity that are so fucked over by the calendar that when it turns to Friday the 13th, they're paralyzed to the point they can't leave their house? I mean, I want to talk to that person. As weird and wacky as they are, I don't need to bring them into my life on a permanent basis, but you want to hear from them. Like, how did you get like this? Who hurt you? Don't you think?
Nope, I want to keep you at bay. I don't need that craziness in my life. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Superstition. I mean, listen, superstition is only one or two jumps away from organized religion anyway. So
pretty much. You got a slippery slope.
Correct.
So it's a gateway vice.
If you're going to judge the superstitious person, you've got to judge the religious person. I've moved beyond judging either now. I'd be more interested in finding out how they got to that point. Really, I think it's fascinating.
Your comparison, though?
What do you mean?
Superstition? Oh, wait. If you believe in superstition, what you're essentially saying is if you believe in superstition, that's equal or the same.
No, it's two steps away.
Oh, two steps
away. I didn't say it's the same.
Oh, how imperative those two steps are.
Hell, they are. Listen, you wake up in the morning. Some people, the first thing they do is say a little prayer every day because they're afraid that the devil's coming to get them. How's that any different to walking under ladders and going, oh, now something terrible is going to happen to me? Or a black cat walks across your path and you're like, oh, it's Friday the 13th. Oh!
Shame. Yeah. Poor black cats. They've asked for none of this. None of this whatsoever. They'll be left alone.
How do you know? Like, they were witches before. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm just saying, I'm an equal lover and an equal hater.
Two steps from organized religion in the opposite direction is reincarnation. Now, listen, everybody has their set of funny things and their set of beliefs. I mean, some people are supremely rational and the world is all about numbers for them. And I think those people have a deficit as much as the people on the spiritual side have a deficit in terms of they're not experiencing the full range of emotions and experiences. Like, if you're totally an empirical, analytical person who looks at only numbers and rational stuff.
Yeah.
You don't get to understand or experience a lot of things in life. You don't get to feel certain things. Remember we had that discussion not so long ago about the feeling people and the thinking people.
True.
And if you're only a feeling person, so much is mysterious to you that it's like a lottery every time you open your eyes. You know? You got to be somewhere in between. And all of us are trying to figure that out. There isn't one person on earth who's got either side or the middle totally figured.
Yeah,
no one.
You'll never get that experience at all.
Not a chance. Anyway.
I don't know, but I'm just very particular about like who is around me. I don't need no crazy people. I don't like angry people around me.
I've noticed with you, you don't like negative and depressing people. They drain your energy and you're like an energy nuclear reactor. He's putting it out all the
time. Because I bunked one too many physics classes in high school. I don't know what you mean by nuclear reactor, but I'll take it as a compliment.
All right, let me say you're exothermic.
Exothermic, endothermic. Shucks.
Go
one
for it.
One reacts on the inside or one reacts by like taking things out.
Almost.
Oh, damn it.
Exothermic means you give off energy.
Endothermic
means you absorb energy.
Oh.
So if you take, in chemistry, if you take ammonium nitrate.
Sure.
No, listen to this.
I know what that is.
Ammonium nitrate is a white crystalline substance. You put it in water, it cools down. It actually pulls heat in from the air.
That would be an endothermic reaction.
Correct.
Oh,
if you put concentrated sulfuric acid into water, it heats up. That's an exothermic reaction.
Okay. So I'm extremely exothermic.
You're exothermic.
Thank you. Yeah. I'll take that as a good thing.
And some people are endothermic. And sometimes you need both people. Again, there is no right or wrong here. I also tend to prefer to have the energy around me because I'm also, I think, mostly an energy output person. But those endothermic people are hugely useful and beneficial. They make a massive difference. In a company, you need the endotherms and the exotherms.
But you know, more than energy or however you want to coin it, there are just some people that you just can't stand or have around you. And there are certain things that I've come to realize that just don't do it for me.
Who was the last person who you looked at and went, I don't need you in my life anymore?
It was actually someone who responded, who's just constantly responding from, I wouldn't say anger, but always wanting to lash out.
Oh.
And
Kane.
No.
Careful.
You can use first names.
But I just don't resonate with that. I just think, why difficult. Do you have to raise your voice? Or why do you have to zap sign someone just because we're in traffic together? I just don't like that.
This Gareth.
Do I lash out a lot?
I was wanting to say, I have a lot of people like that tantrums. In my life.
No, I do. No, I have tantrums, but you know as well as I. I get over them. Traffic? I get over them so quickly.
Doesn't forgive you being in them though, Gareth. I mean, look at Sia. He's obviously touched by this. The fact that I don't think he's bringing this up
is it
on,
me?
On air.
No.
It's not me. It's not Jane.
No.
It's okay, Sia.
Someone in my personal circle. But yeah.
Your secret can be safe with us.
Oh, this is a circle of trust again, like Justice Malala? Oh, that was juicy yesterday.
Justice really opened up. He was very uncomfortable admitting that his family are not charmed when he starts chewing on the chicken bones.
Yeah. But I mean, into them.
He was quite honest how sometimes he just can't, he can't resist.
Yeah.
Mm.
And he gets stuck in, which we all do.
Ooh.
All right, I just want to find out, because we need an update on this. A lot of people interested yesterday in Ben's story about the kitten that he's bought for Daniela. And we wanted an update today because the kitten and Meows has finally met.
It was a big day yesterday.
Oh,
it was a big day. So look, the little guy is cute. I like him. He's got cool character. He's a good guy.
Like you said, he's from Four Ways.
He's from Four Ways. He's been living the last month in a cage. He's had a tough life so far. So I would, because us humans are such dicks to animals, let's be honest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's nice to be able to give back, so to speak, by having pets and loving pets. And then Daniela came home. I said, you can go feed him. So it looks like, you know, you're giving him love and stuff. And then they bonded a bit. And then it was the big moment, introducing him to Meowses.
Oh.
So we've got the strange apartment where there's just endless stairs. And it's like a long, thin cylinder upwards. So the cat's right at the top level. Meowses obviously is everywhere else. So the cat comes trotting down the stairs. There's legs everywhere. It's loving the stairs. New horizons. And then suddenly it's like, oh. It's like, oh, hey. And Meowses is like, mm-mm, no. But the look on her face, I got the most priceless photos of Meowses. Like, she just, cats have this amazing way of communicating with each other. Nothing's being said or done, but the slightest change in facial expression and it means the world.
Yeah, they're very sensitive things.
So this cat now wants to kind
it's
of like
sensitive
play.
To each other, I mean.
And the Meowses suddenly turned into like this badass cat. She just suddenly seemed like the size of a lion, because obviously the cat's smaller. And to this credit, the little guy was going to go up to her and, like, you know, introduce himself. And Meowses is like, no, not today. You don't just waltz in here.
Ben even said that Meowses was warming up her pimp hand to, like, smack him.
Yeah, so then she took the higher ground on a staircase and just stared at him for, like, a minute. And then he kind of came closer and she literally got her hand and was waving it like she was warming up for a slap in the face. But that was like Animal Planet for me last night, watching these two for like an hour just size each other up, look at each other. Cats are so much fun. They're like, they're just the funniest animals in the whole world.
I'm pleased no one was hurt during the making of this documentary.
There were no paws thrown. And I think today we'll have round two where they'll meet each other during the daytime.
Yeah,
sometimes Meowses might be a bit cranky at nighttime. Well, I don't know. Look, Meowses will make this difficult for at least 3 months. But another reason why, like, this whole thing of me getting Daniela a cat timed in, and this is my thinking, is that we're going into winter. Meowses is an absolute heat vampire. So if anything that emits, gives out heat in this world, Meowses will suck it to death or just, like, own it. So this cat's going to be like, you're warm to the touch. We can cuddle. And then they'll get along. They'll bond.
They will.
So
we'll get there eventually.
I've thought this through, and it's going to work out. I know it will.
Does the cat have a name just yet?
I don't think so, although Daniela was calling him Snowden yesterday. He is pure white. Like, he's the most pure white cat you've ever seen.
Snowden.
That's the name of the highest mountain in the UK.
Oh, I'm thinking of Edward.
Which then gets back to your suggestion for Four Ways, his name should be Eddie.
Yeah.
So maybe that's what
he
is.
The hell's that?
Oh, it's... nothing.
Ben's got
it came from Ben's.
Ben's got a bum.
Oh, it says GoPro thing.
Yeah, relax. So happy days, guys. The story is going in the right path. So,
okay.
Like, he's not going to return to living in a cage and then ultimately euthanized. That's what happens with stray animals. Let's be honest. That's their fate. They get one chance, just one chance to make it in this world. And he's doing all right.
I'm pleased to hear things have been resolved. You were very miserable about it yesterday. It didn't look like the outlook was very favorable.
It didn't look too rosy.
No. All right, here's something. First of all, Kala sent this to us yesterday. I didn't get around to it. Just moved to Gauteng and our baby's in the hospital for something called RS virus, which seems to be part of life up here. Never even heard of it in other parts of the country. What other diseases should we prepare for up in Johannesburg?
What does RS stand for?
Yeah.
RS virus.
Sounds horrendous. Have you been eating polony?
Oh, jeez. Oh! Okay.
What is it?
Do adults get it?
Respiratory syncytial.
Oh, Jesus. That doesn't sound right. Try again.
Oh.
Respiratory?
There we go. Sync.
What?
Cycle. S-Y-N-C. Yeah. S-Y-N-C. Yes. Y-T-I-A-L.
I'm so glad it's not just me that messes these things
up. It's a virus that is much like the flu, they said, and just like the flu, you can get it more than once. For most people, this virus causes upper breathing illness or the common cold, but there are some exceptions.
Oh, come on, Carla, it's just a cold.
Look, the altitude is different. It's just butch up a bit. Yeah, it means it's just less a cold. Air, that's all.
Your child must get tougher.
Yeah, but there's a whole explanation, though. There's some sort of inclusion of bronchitis.
I don't know. It sounds like Carla's kid's looking for attention here.
I swear, you sound like backward people from the frickin' 1940s when just like, put some sand on that, you'll be fine.
I don't know.
No, the person is bleeding.
Put some sand on
I'm pretty sure like a bit of Vicks, this kid's gonna be fine.
There you see? No.
A little bit of tiger balm around the nostrils.
Kelly, you take that kid to hospital.
Ben, I've been dealing with my cats for 20 years. Trust me, within a month, Meowsers and this little guy will be sleeping in the same place.
Nice. That's the dream.
Yesterday, says somebody else, I was walking towards my car after a meeting. I parked outside one of my client's offices. And as I walked out to my car, I saw a huge rat sitting on my front wheel. Wait,
with a flick knife.
It jumped when I started screaming. The security came and got it away. Does that mean I should not get out of bed today because it's Friday the 13th? That's Anushka.
No, it just means you parked in a dodgy place.
Yeah, and you shouldn't go and see those clients again. Find new clients. And then someone took a picture of a bottle of Hague Club. We spoke to a guy called Ewan Gunn this week, who's he's the master distiller. He's the undisputed whiskey expert of all experts. And we spoke to him this week because we obviously interviewed Beckham when they launched Hague Club in South Africa. And there's a picture of a beautiful blue bottle of it on somebody's counter bar. It says Puzza Thursday. Had this little gem after listening to that Diageo guest you had in this week. It was very good. Well, excellent. If we can improve your life in ways like that, then we're doing the right thing. That's the point with any of our clients that we bring on here. They've got to fit in, and if the audience don't like them and if they don't add value. I mean, like, I felt that our conversation with Sven this week from One Plan was really interesting. For a lot of us preparing for the winter that's coming. You know, if it isn't useful to you, why do it? And then the worst kind of hangover, Ben, is a rough Saturday and then Sunday drinking out at the Vaal River, baking in the sun. That screwed me up for Monday, Tuesday, and sometimes even Wednesday.
Yeah,
getting
true.
Old is not great, to be honest.
No.
And then another one came in. Hey, guys, just listen to Wednesday's podcast. Did Ben's "Oh, right" comment fly over everyone's head? Regarding Mubs oversleeping, I think Ben reckons he's the only professional in there. Hashtag stirring the pot. Cheers, Dudley.
I don't recall that, but Dudley... You know, we've all said this on countless occasions that we all make mistakes. I don't quite recall that one.
I
need to clear my throat.
I don't care either way.
And then someone says, thank you, Gareth, for recommending the Telegram app. It's fantastic. Yeah, you can get hold of us on Telegram or on WhatsApp. If you don't like Mark Zuckerberg, use Telegram. 0797482090. It's the same number for both. So you only have to remember one number, and you can send us a WhatsApp or a Telegram. This person is using Telegram says, I hope you give Claudie Motsweneng a show. It will do wonders for Cliff Central. Well, I mean, I don't know what the guy's doing at the moment.
What could that guy possibly offer?
Yeah. A lot of people are talking about Zuckerberg, by the way, sending us memes of like people laughing, and it says, when you get one of those funny WhatsApp messages and it's got the person who's sending the message, and they look like they're smiling, and then two of their friends who are laughing at the message, and another one of their friends, and then Mark Zuckerberg laughing at the message too, because of course he knows exactly what's in your messages.
Oh, okay, I see.
Yes.
I see.
Your people are not going to let this go so easily.
Ben, I have a little girl cat, says somebody, that chose to live with us too. I decided to get her some friends. And my screen is frozen. How fucking irritating. I do not like this new screen layout.
It is a
bit... I don't like it at all. I do not like it, Sam, I am. Okay. Let's go back to the old one, please.
Okay, Dr. Seuss. But yes, I'll ask about that. So let's see what we can do.
It's not good. It's not good.
No bueno.
So speaking of people popping by today and talking about things that might be interesting to you, there's this health and wellness revolution. You know, a lot of people are suddenly aware of, and I'm not saying that this happened out of the blue. For some people, it's been a way of life, and that's how they live. They're very careful about what they put into their bodies, and they're very careful about how they live their lives. They want to be as healthy as possible. Some people just exist. We know those people as well, right? So we're all asking questions around how healthy we are, what goes into our food, whether you can grow stuff at home. And we thought we'd get Robin in from Lifestyle Home and Garden to come and talk to us about what kinds of things we can do to be a part of this health and wellness revolution. Maybe it's for you. Remember last time she popped by and said to Ben, you can grow certain stuff on the balcony. He actually tried it and it didn't go too badly.
Yeah, my kale is now huge. Well, not huge. Wow. It's just bigger.
Sure.
Yeah.
What do you show off? Why don't you with your big kale?
Yeah, that's me, big kale Ben.
Are you big kale Ben? Are you going to be doing something with it, eating it, making use of it?
Every third day, I go and pick.
Oh wow!
Throw into salads.
Salads.
Yeah. Put it into smoothies.
Kale is the thing in California. It's all anyone in California eats or talks about.
Well, when you go to the shops and you buy it, it looks dirty and smelly. The one I grow, it's cool.
Your big Ben's
look. It's more. Kale. It looks more like a baby spinach.
Yeah,
but it's good.
And by the way, Karen Morn was a hit yesterday.
She's great.
She is fantastic.
People liked her. Sia ran down the stairs because she left her bag here.
Well, she left her laptop, yes, yeah. Afterwards.
So Ben ran down the stairs and she was off to some appointment, like something horrible, like some child abuse case or whatever.
Jeez, yeah, it's...
And she's like, all right, I'm off to the court to deal with this child abuser case. But she was all upbeat about it. And I thought, wow, she really does love her job.
Yeah, it's just another day at the office for her.
It's like she said, she can't physically do anything else. Like, she's not doing this for attention or money or whatever, whatever.
No, this is her thing.
This is her nature in life, is to do what she does. And it's kind of refreshing to hear that, because some people try to say similar things to sound really important. But when you listen to her and how she describes things, you can see, like, this is actually a person of substance.
Yeah.
Like, she really does mean what she says.
And she's really good at what she does. Mm. Without a doubt. I mean, you know, to quote Fikile Mbalula.
Oh, yes.
We going to, however he said it, we're going to miss you. And that's on ENCA. But she's still around and she's still doing great work. Mm. So I'm sure that we won't hear the last of Karen Morn for any considerable period of time. Okay, we must maybe get into the five things you need to know today. Do you want to take it away, Mubs?
Sure. We'll begin with the ANC Secretary General, Ace Magashule, yesterday saying that the ANC has done a disservice to Winnie Madikizela Mandela by not recognizing her role in the liberation movement sooner. This is all because of a documentary that was aired by ENCA on Wednesday, to which a lot of people have reacted with outrage and a lot of criticism as well towards the ruling party. The documentary is titled Winnie and it is directed by a French filmmaker. It contains, among other things, testimony of former Apartheid strategic communications members who revealed the extent to which the security branch plotted to discredit Madikizela Mandela through the media. So then Ace Magashule kind of, you know, stepping forward and saying, well, yes, the ANC are guilty of having mistreated her on a number of different accounts.
Of course, he issued the statement from his high donkey of the 5 million of not making her memorial
in Brandfort acceptable to any kind of standard.
I mean,
yeah, he should shut up.
Mass deflection.
I mean, what he's really doing is he's projecting his own guilt forward here on this, because everybody, including Trevor Manuels, climbed into him already to tell him, you know, where's this money that was set aside to turn that house in Brandfort into a museum?
But also it's a case of this documentary opened a lot of people's eyes. And now, you know, the people within the ANC are kind of looking at each other going, oh, shoot. Now even more of them know our dirty little secrets.
You know, it's interesting to me that Winnie's story is, it's there. You can, this documentary is not like revelation. If you just scratched a little, you'd find this stuff. It's on the internet. There's a lot of books written about it. Fatima Mir has written a really interesting book about Winnie, which is worth having a look at if you're interested. And a lot of people are suddenly interested in Winnie, which I understand. And I'm not criticizing people who've just developed that interest. That often happens. Someone important dies, and people go and they research her life. And for their own purposes, they want to find out more about this person because maybe it's affected them. And Winnie's story is fascinating. I was reading a really interesting article by R.W. Johnson about Winnie yesterday, about how she grew up in Bizana. Because, you know, I was surprised that she was from Bizana. I didn't know that. And I found out all about her family, and she had a paternal grandmother who was very influential in her life. And her paternal grandmother was very traditional and took a very kind of hard line that the church wasn't to be trusted, that white people weren't to be trusted. And she and her daughter-in-law, Winnie's mother, didn't really agree about the way to raise her. Winnie was also one of four girls, and she was quite tomboyish. Her other sisters were, in her mother's own words, lighter skinned than her and more pretty. So she grew up with a bit of a situation around that, and she learned to stick fight with the boys. And she was very much more like out there and you know, just hanging around with the guys, and kind of she didn't have it as easy as her sisters. And she and her sisters would often get into altercations. She actually knuckle dusted her one sister and like broke the inside of her mouth. Oof. And got the beating of her life from her mother. Yeah. So there's some interesting stories there around how Winnie had a pretty brutal upbringing, and she didn't really have it easy there. Then her family obviously became the ANC later on, and they brutalized her in some ways. The ANC had a lot of, and I'm not saying she's the victim here because she got herself into a lot of trouble. I mean, Winnie had, she danced with violence much of her life. And this is why, you know, when we started talking about her legacy, and now people are taking more interest and documentaries are coming out, and people like Ace Magashule, instead of just being, you know, oh, Winnie, oh, we love you, Winnie, is starting to say, well, maybe the ANC should have done more for her and recognized her more during the struggle. And as for her role in the struggle, what they should have brought to the fore more often. Because it is a fascinating story, and every life is. There is no life that is saintly, and there's no life that is completely demonic. Balance, just like we were talking about earlier with people who give off energy and people who absorb it. And the same goes for the people who are factual and the people who are feeling-based. Winnie was a very complex human being, and complex to her children, complex to her husband. She was a source of huge trouble for Nelson Mandela. Huge trouble. And the things that she was getting up to while he was in jail drove him crazy. His lawyer was usually in every meeting that they had together. Now, that's not how a couple meet. A couple who are perfectly in love and trust each other 100% don't meet with the lawyer when they meet. But he was almost always in every meeting. So it's fascinating to read this stuff. And the info is out there. Which is why someone like Ace Magashule, like, you didn't know any of this stuff, dude? And you had access to resources.
No, I'm sure he knew. It's just, you know, now they have to kind of adjust their story and their narrative to the masses, because they've got to keep up with appearances, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, the French president, Emmanuel Macron, revealed yesterday that they now have proof that Syria were involved, or rather the Syrian government was involved in those chemical attacks. Speaking during an interview in France, saying, "We have proof that chemical weapons were used last week, at least chlorine, and that they were used by the regime of Bashar al-Assad." Macron added that he was in daily contact with U.S. President Donald Trump and that they would decide on their response, but they will only do so at a time of their choosing and when they deem it most useful and most effective to do so. The French leader, who had made the use of chemical weapons in Syria a red line, said that one of his aims in Syria was to remove the regime's chemical attack capabilities. So last week, Saturday, dozens of civilians in the Syrian town of Douma, you know, they were foaming at the mouth, they were struggling to breathe, their eyes were burning, patients overwhelmed the medics in the town. And this happened shortly after 7:30 p.m. last week, Saturday. And then the following day, an estimated 500 people had gone to Syrian health facilities with signs and symptoms consistent with exposure to toxic chemicals. I think there were also up to 60 people that died, a lot of them children. So, yeah, France and America are now teaming up and saying, you know, they're pointing fingers at Bashar al-Assad, saying you're responsible for releasing this.
That's horrible. So he's poisoning his own people with chlorine. I mean, chlorine, that's not messing around, huh? And you know it's heavier than air, so it goes into places that normal gases would just dissipate into the air. Ooh. Chlorine stays close to the ground because it's heavier than the composition of air. It's horrible stuff. Horrible, horrible stuff. Very reactive. It makes you foam inside your lungs. You can't breathe eventually. Your mucous membranes go crazy trying to get rid of it, and they produce so much.
Would that happen quickly?
You eventually drown in your own fluids. Yeah, well, sometimes it's extended. I mean, this is what they used in World War I. Fritz Haber was the guy who invented this as a chemical weapon. The Haber process is actually a process that's used to make chlorine, and he invented this as a chemical weapon in World War I. It was decided after that in the Geneva Convention that this is the most horrible thing. You can't use this. It's completely out of order. Mm. So from then on, they stopped using it. And by the way, Fritz Haber's wife committed suicide. She was so horrified that he'd invented such a horrible weapon of war. Mm. Mm-hmm. Interesting stories there. Yeah. This Syria thing is so confusing, though, because Russia are involved, France are involved, America's involved. I saw Trump tweeting about how there are going to be missiles. They could come at any time. Don't know if that's helping or making it worse. But someone's got to do something about this Assad dude, right? He doesn't seem to me that he cares a damn about his own people.
Well, he's in power, so we know it for sure.
And he's being backed up by Russia. Russia want to control the Middle East.
Yeah, and I mean, Vlad, nothing good comes out of that guy.
No, pure evil. There we go. There's a person who's completely evil. He's a demon. There's no saint in him. Except when he's wrestling bears.
Because as one casually does.
Yeah, of course. Right, exactly. Okay, what else?
Google say that they're going to be releasing an app on the continent that will help internet users overcome obstacles such as lack of speed connectivity and the cost of data. Okay.
Tell us more.
The new app reduces the amount of data needed to display search results by 40%, according to these guys.
That's good.
And it allows previous searches to be accessed offline as well. The internet giant has also adapted the voice function to work better on slow connections. So it's all about better speed and lower costs. It's called Google Go. So the release of Google Go is the U.S. technology giant's latest attempt to extend its reach into sub-Saharan Africa. Facebook are also, of course, making inroads on the continent. So, yeah, the Alphabet unit has laid fiber optic cables. They've eased access to cheaper phones, and they've trained a workforce in digital skills. And now they're saying that this new app, Google Go, will just make the experience a lot easier for you.
Well, I'm all for that. Who wouldn't be? It's not like we're going to stop using the internet anytime soon. And if Google can find ways for us to use less data to do so, hell yes. Plus, it's in their interest to expand their infrastructure here. And it's in their interest to get more people on the internet. It's in everybody's interests. As much as we despise the lizard Zuckerberg, and we know that the Google guys are probably just as evil because they're also gathering info on us, that's just part of the price you pay for being connected to the world. People are going to know. People are going to know you exist. You're part of a global community. You know how it goes. All right. Zuckerberg is either a lizard person or a cyborg.
Jeez.
No, I think cyborgs have got more charisma.
That's what someone says on the messages this morning. You think cyborg's charismatic?
Yeah.
Compared to him?
Yeah, definitely.
Have you seen all those memes where he is, he's using like Terminator heads-up display and he zooms in on the congresswoman and it gives information, says whether she's wearing armor or not.
No.
So that he can kill her.
Oh, guys.
Yes, there's lots of that stuff. All right, quick cryptocurrency update and then we'll get into Ben and the sport. Just a quick message here. Ben, I have a little girl cat. Remember, I started this and then we ran out of screen or whatever. Ben, I have a little girl cat. She chose to live with us too. I decided to get her two little friends, my boys. To this day, she has never forgiven me, and that was 7 years ago. Good luck with me, Alice. Oh, shit.
That was 7 years ago.
Phew.
Shucks.
Yeah, well, look, cats want to be just the one and only. Although I think meowsers would be good with it because yeah, it's just me being hopeful.
Look, could go either way, but I don't think it's going to be that much of a problem. She says her cats haven't forgiven her, but she'll be fine. I watched a thing on YouTube yesterday. What it boiled down to is that Assad would have had the most to lose by doing this. That's by the chemical weapons. Came down to it that it's a scheme by the Western powers to remove Russian influence in the Middle East. It's on a channel called Sargon of Akkad, a three-part video. You should check it out, Sean. Okay. Someone says, I work in Bizan, and there are a lot of Winnie's relatives here. I see her home every time I go into town.
Hmm.
That's interesting. And Ben, if you can find it, read the book called Catwatching by Desmond Morris. He also wrote Dog Watching, I assume that is, because it says Dig Watching. Dog Watching, Man Watching, and Human Animal. Very entertaining. All right, and then just one last one from Greg, who says, I'm listening with Cliff Central headphones that I got yesterday. Very nice. All right, it's not such a bad day on cryptocurrencies today. Bitcoin actually surged up to $7,624.91, and that's the highest it's been in a little while. In fact, that looks like it's an upward trend, which we've needed there for a long time. Ethereum, $479.46. And even Monero, IOTA, and Ripple have seen similar upticks. You see, when one goes up, they all go up. Best performer, though, of the last couple of weeks, Bitcoin Gold, now at $45.67.
Well, Gareth, as Anthea always says, a rising tide will always
lift all ships.
Lift all ships.
All right. There we go. You almost screwed that up, Ben, but let's...
didn't let me finish.
Oh, well, it seemed like you were gasping for breath, like those chlorine victims in Syria. Oh, it's time for Ben in the sport. What do you got?
So, Nassor Jabodwana's case was, well, didn't really go anywhere. He was disqualified. He had a false start in the semis. He was not allowed to go into the final. And that was that, really. Clarence Munier, unfortunately, could not get onto the podium, but he got a credible fourth. Just remember, this guy is young. He is going to be an absolute superstar. So even though he finished fourth in the Commonwealth Games this year, he's such an incredible talent and will do great things. Speaking of great things, the men's 4x100 relay today, 3:05. That's happened already. Oh, crap. Missed that. South Africa will be in action in the men's relay. Well, it's 3:05. I mean, I only wake up later.
Sure.
Yeah. So sprinters are still in. That's what I'm getting at with this. Yesterday wasn't the greatest day for the Commonwealth Games for South African athletes. Although in the men's T12 Parawealth 100-meter final.
Is it called the Parawealth?
Well, we're going with that.
Okay, I like it.
Jonathan Ntutu, 11 seconds. He beat off Hilton Langenhoven.
Beat him off?
Yeah, it's a second place, Gareth. So another men's 1-2 in the sprinting. Really, really good. If you're wondering who's doing well, the bestest, the most well at the Commonwealth, well, Australia, they've got 62 golds, 46 silvers, and 47 bronzes.
Huh.
So they're basically beating the pants of absolutely everybody. They've got 155 medals. England got 28 golds, 32 silvers, 26 bronzes, for a grand total of 86. And then India, they're in third place. They got 14 golds, 7 silvers, and 10 bronzes for 31. Canada in fourth, and South Africa are currently fifth on the medals table. Just a hair above New Zealand. Hmm. Speaking about New Zealand, they, of course, are the best teams in Super Rugby, and Super Rugby will be played this weekend, as is every single weekend. Do you want to know what the fixtures are, Gareth?
Of course.
Well, you're in luck, because I have them somewhere.
I'm sorry.
He's just digging around in his bag.
The Stormers will not be playing this weekend. Don't that matters anything to you. But tonight, well, today, 9:35, Hurricanes versus the Chiefs. There's your big New Zealand derby. Always good to know when that is because that's probably going to be the best game. Tomorrow morning at 5:05, the Sunwolves will be playing the Blues. Good for the Sunwolves. 7:15, the Rebels will be hosting the Jaguars. And then 9:35, Highlanders versus Brumbies. Waratahs versus Reds after that 11:45. And then Sharks versus Bulls. Here's a good one to have a braai about. Have a braai. Brandy and Cokes, beers, whatever it is. 5:15, South African afternoon on Saturday. Sharks versus the Bulls. And then that's it for your weekend of rugby. Now, football's obviously a huge sport, and there's so much happening. This year being a World Cup year. But of course, in 4 years' time, Qatar, they will host the World Cup as well. But how are these guys going to be ready for the World Cup? Because obviously they're the host nation, so they will be host, have a team in that actual World Cup. So Qatar will be playing. And no, it's not a whole bunch of old English guys who went and became engineers in Qatar playing. They've got local talent. Mm-hmm. But where's it developing? Well, they'll be playing the Copa America next year. Will be Qatar. There'll be other teams from around the world playing as well. So basically the CONMEBOL, which is the general region of South American football, they've invited a whole bunch of other countries to come and play in the Copa America. So Japan, China, Mexico, or Mexico kind of really part of South America, they'll be there with Qatar playing next year. So look, I mean, obviously Qatar's going to get absolutely decked by all the teams in the World Cup. Although now the World Cup's been expanded to more teams, there'll be like, you know, better chance for them to not be so hammered. But still, it's nice to see them getting out there. Because if Sepp, Uncle Sepp, who's now Uncle Sepp...
What's he doing? Is he still alive?
I think he's still trying to find where he illegally ferried his money. But his whole vision was for development and legacy in Qatar. So let's try not be cynical. At least these guys are getting out there. At football news of a playing nature last night, Atletico are through to the semi-finals of the Thursday league. And then so are Arsenal. Arsenal, it was squeaky bum time there at CSK Moscow because they went up 2-0, did the Moscow Knights. And then Arsenal came back 2-2. So huge result there for Arsenal. They're showing bottle and they're in the semi-finals of the Thursday League. So that's something. That's something. Today, I forgot Commonwealth Games today. Costa Semenya 800-meter final. And that is, of course, her real, real strong event. In the Premier League, well, there's... Man City's another chance to try to win the title. So on Saturday, Southampton will kick things off against Chelsea at 1:30. And then we'll see Liverpool hosting Bournemouth. Liverpool are going into the proper European semi-finals. That'll be the draw that'll be happening quite soon. 6:30, they'll be taking on Bournemouth. And then Spurs versus Man City, 8:45. So after all the rugby on Saturday, after all the Commonwealth gaming, 8:45, Spurs versus Man City. That is your big game for the weekend. Sunday, we'll see Newcastle take on Arsenal at 2:30, and Man United will take on West Brom. There's also Formula One happening this weekend. China. So if you're into that, obviously early start for you there. And Lewis Hamilton, well, he hasn't won anything yet. Just like last year, it was Ferrari in the first two races, and then Mercedes kind of kicked in. Is the same going to happen? I'm not entirely sure.
All right.
Other football news, there is, of course, the local Premier League. And Sundowns, well, they'll be looking for big points. They need to beat Fitz, and that'll be Saturday at 6 o'clock. And otherwise, Chiefs will be playing Platinum Stars on Sunday, and Pirates will be away to AmaZulu also on Sunday. But interesting news, well, interesting story that has broken around local football of African nature. Mm-hmm. Four South African match officials were offered money to basically go and hunsey it for 361,000 rand.
Hunsey it meaning that you're going to cheat.
You're going to fix it.
Yeah.
Now, the Nigerian League has been known for having some sort of dodgy matches from time to time. I'm sure a while ago, some team won like 32-0 or something. Which doesn't happen again. No. People are obviously wearing patch leather jackets. So four officials have sort of been involved in this, and straight away they didn't take the money. They came forward, and they went straight to CAF, and they said, "Look, there'd be fuckery afoot here. These guys are offering us big money to fix a match." So it's nice to know that there is still some morals and credibility around refs, because match fixing is rife. And unfortunately, we get into these leagues where there's not a lot of money. The guys aren't making a lot of money. So you get these fat cats, bookie people coming out there and they're showing all kinds of cash. And then suddenly the game is taken to disrepute. And no game has ever thrived within disrepute. I looked that up as an actual fact. Gareth, that's pretty much it for the weekend of sport. Australian cricket has kind of taken some more bad PR. They have sold, they're about to sell their rights for $1 billion to essentially pay TV. So if you're Australian and you've enjoyed watching cricket on sort of more free-to-air stuff, well, Cricket Australia doesn't care about you. They care about money. They've had numerous options to keep things away from the paywall, so to speak. But Cricket Australia, they want cash. They want your cash. They want everyone's cash. And they don't care who's actually watching the game.
Explain to me what this is all about. I mean, is it just a money grab? Because they realize...
Okay. Well, to put it into local kind of sphere of things, Cricket Australia have been able to show like test matches and one days and all that kind of stuff on free-to-air broadcasters like the SABC.
Sure.
But now they've been kind of throwing their rights out there to see who's going to take for the highest price. And it's got to the point now where essentially more and more of the game is going to be behind a paywall where you'll have to have a subscription in order to watch cricket live in Australia.
Well, they've got to find some way of funding them now that the sponsors have all dropped out.
I'm just amazed by... Okay, look, this deal will probably run 7, maybe 8 years. And obviously, it's going to get down to the final line and they're going to say, well, you know, we really want this, but we're going to bust your balls because David Warner in the ball tampering. And they're going to go, ah, oh, crap. Yeah, you're right. So anyway, this everything will be signed off this weekend, but essentially more cricket's going behind the paywall and more decent Australians are basically saying, you guys are a bunch of pricks. So yeah, Cricket Australia, 2018, not a good year.
But this is going to happen in more and more areas where people are going to say, well, if you want the best stuff, you've got to pay for it.
Gareth, completely. Totally agree with that. And that is just the way of life. But Cricket Australia, I believe, like any other administration or governing body, has a responsibility to balance things enough that your average person out there can see the sport and be a part of it. Not to make it too exclusive. Sport needs to become inclusive.
I think Ben's angling for a Ministry of Sport job there.
Look, I got to say, that wasn't one of my best sports reports, but I really pulled it home in the end.
You did.
Yeah
at the end together. It came together.
Yeah.
It was good. Especially depressing, though, was the point where you were searching in your bag for the results of the Premier League.
No, fixtures of Super Rugby. Get it right.
Sorry.
If you got to call me out, do it properly.
Word to the moms.
All right, let's get to Sia. It's time for Said by Sia.
Do you remember recently when I covered the story of a husband who was so taken by his wife's recent paralyzation that he took it upon himself to start learning how to make life easier for her?
Yes, you said that he'd built things around the house. He'd built her this apparatus, this device that made it possible for her to move around the house. And yeah.
So now someone else sent me the story, which further proves that, you know what, this thing called love, guys, actually is a massive thing. Because now a doting dad whose son was born with no left hand has created...
No left hand?
No left hand at all.
Wow.
Has created an entire new limb for him using a 3D printer. Just let that sink in for a while. Like a father who just... does his regular 9-to-5, just loves his son, and actually was so overcome to say, like, I at least want my son to have some sort of a normal life, to the point where he started educating himself to build his own 3D and bionic hand. So Jamie Miller is the son. He's 10 years old and he can now pick up things. He can high-five his dad, Callum, and even play catch with him using his new DIY arm. So the schoolboy had to learn to cope with his disability, but his 51-year-old father began researching alternatives on the internet. The father founded a charity called, get this, Team Unlimited. Who use 3D printers to help build robotic limbs. But actually, this charity, as much as they do great work, had an 18-month waiting list. So that's when the father decided, actually, I'm not going to wait this long. Let me do this myself. That's when he simply just brought a printer off eBay and downloaded the arm designs from the charity. And so within weeks, Jamie had adapted brilliantly to the arm which was created by his father. And so now he has these two flexible arms which works from leads running from his elbow.
Like, that's terrific.
It is remarkable.
See, but this is like, okay, I just love the fact that people can now 3D print an arm. That's great. God, that's amazing.
Yeah.
You don't have to be a scientist in some institute where there are 1,000 people researching and it costs millions of dollars to keep it going every day.
No.
You could do this at home on a 3D printer. It's beautiful.
look, it's not going to be the easiest thing to navigate, which just shows how much this father went through to learn.
I love that. I love that even more, that he wanted to learn.
It's crazy.
Wow.
And now he's spreading that to other people because he heard of this young girl, a six-year-old, Kira Campbell, who was born without a left hand as well. Mm-hmm. And she was told by doctors that a prosthetic limb wouldn't be suitable. So that's when Callum Miller heard of the story and then also decided to build her an arm as well. And she's adapting well to it. So
doctors aren't very helpful, are they? Like, kind of just pushing you through. They go, no, it's not going to work.
Let's hope. Let's look.
It wasn't the doctor that said, you should see this 3D printing limb thing.
Let's look at the brighter side and just believe the best in people.
I am,
that really they tried their best.
No, they didn't. But I mean, but it's great to see that people don't let doctors get them down. There we go.
Yeah, they don't give up.
Yeah.
That's more where I was going.
Callum Miller this morning for Said by Sia. This is massive and amazing guy.
I like it a lot. All right, so we've got a lot going on this morning. We're going to get into some news. We've got Robin from Lifestyle popping by. We've got a replay of, this is good, an interview that we did not so long ago with Farrell Perkis. Remember the singer and songwriter? He popped by and we got to speak to him. And we'll take your thoughts, your calls, your messages. You know how to get hold of us. If you want to WhatsApp or Telegram or WeChat, then the WhatsApp number is 0797482090. Cliff Central, one word of WeChat, and you can also Skype us if you like. Same thing, Cliff Central, one word. And then if you want to call, 0861-555-189. Try and give you as many avenues as possible so that you can join in the conversation. Let us know what you're up to. It's Friday.
This is CliffCentral.com.